Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It is Waddle and Sylvie. Short show for you. We'll be on the air up until 6 o'clock. Then we turn it over to Bleck and Abdallah. I believe Chris Bleck is flying solo tonight with a full ride, a full two-hour ride. I'm sure that...
Yeah, I'm solo, but Sean Davis is here, so we're good.
Sean,
we're
okay.
Good. We're going to rock and roll tonight.
We got a crew. That's right. We got a crew. I'm sure that there will be a few White Sox thoughts, but the majority of the conversation will be focused on our favorite football team, the Chicago Bears. Sylvia's off today for the Jewish holiday. He will be back tomorrow for a Football Friday as we begin to get you ready for Bears and Bengals on the lakefront. It will be the home opener for the 2021 season as the Bears try to bounce back after a disappointing loss last Sunday night in Los Angeles. Real quick, though, before we move on to Bears conversation, if you have a White Sox thought, 312-332-3776. I thought Freddie did a brilliant job, as always, recapping what we saw today. Boy, was that a weird one. On the South side, they lose to the Angels 9-3. They lose the series. I believe they're only 2-5 against the Angels overall this year. And now they hit the road for their last road trip of the season. 11 games on the road. They'll face the Rangers for 3. They will face the Tigers for 3. The Indians for 5 before returning home. But as I said, a really, really weird game today. They got boat raced. Lopez struggled, didn't have the good stuff. You had some sloppy defense. I believe they had 3 errors. We had a couple of fans run on the field. We had a stadium issue where they had to fix something in the outfield. We have Mike Wright hitting Ohtani in the 9th. He gets thrown out for that. Then Tony gets thrown out for arguing. I would say everyone got their money. Oh, Romy Gonzalez came in and got a strikeout, which may have been a highlight of the day. But really a weird, weird game to wrap up the series with the Angels on the South side today. Wouldn't you say, Chris? Was crazy.
And Chris, yeah, I'm with you. Yes. And yeah. We were, you know, we're watching the game here in the studio and you and I are talking and it's like, wow, this game's going super fast. And then by the time we get to the 8th inning, it's like, then you get the people on the field, you get Ohtani getting hit. You get La Russa getting ejected from the game, and it was like this blowout contest that shouldn't be remembered, and then it turned into this game that there's actually a lot of things to kind of talk about, even though it wasn't really a competitive baseball game.
Yeah, and it leaves me with the same conversation as well, and I know people on this, you know, White Sox fans are probably tired of hearing me say this, and I'm not trying to play the part of an alarmist and just create a conversation for the sake of creating a conversation. But kind of what has my mantra been in the entire second half of this season? That, yes, the White Sox have dealt with a number of injuries, probably as many or more injuries than any other team in Major League Baseball this year. But after the loss to the Angels today, where do you think the White Sox find themselves record-wise since the All-Star break? 29-28. A game over 500. Now, we could sit and make, you know, excuses or give an explanation for why they haven't been as impressive record-wise in the second half as they were in the first half, and whether or not that means diddly-poo. But it is something that I have mentioned quite a bit and something I've asked White Sox fans over the course of the last several weeks. How confident are you? Last night, you saw Michael Kopech give up a home run in the 8th inning that ended up being the winning run for the Angels. You had to like, though, what you've seen from Lance Lynn and Giolito and Rodon since they've come back from short stints on the injured list. You got a better start from Keuchel last night. I don't know how readily the Sox are or how interested they are in giving him the baseball in the postseason, but there have been some positive things, obviously, over the course of what's been a very exciting season. But again, I look at what has transpired in the second half of the season, and I heard a caller to Fred's postgame show that kind of echoed the same things. I could see this White Sox team winning a World Series if those starting pitchers perform in the manner in which they did in the first half of the season. And maybe all they needed was rest, and we're going to see them get back to that kind of form. I've also seen a team that is sporadic with putting runs on the board. And you can't really do that against the better pitchers that you're going to face in the postseason. So I think it's going to be very interesting. I'm very optimistic. I'm very hopeful. But by the same token, I'm also a little bit nervous by some of the things that I have seen. So, yeah.
So Tom, it's like the record, if you just look at the standings, looks fantastic. You just laid it out. The way they've played since the All-Star break, you're an average baseball team. So if you look towards the playoffs, I think it's okay to be uneasy. And I heard the caller also who talked to Fred, and he was like, well, we could also win the World Series. And it's like, yeah, you kind of can.
Yes.
You have the talent to do so. And most importantly, you have the back end of the bullpen, the guys who can just shut down and lock down a game for you if you get the lead in Hendricks and Kimbrel. And if Kopech can get going here towards the playoffs, you have that piece of it. That's a very difficult piece of the puzzle to have heading into October and into the playoffs. So, like, I feel both ways. I feel uneasy because against top competition, the Sox have struggled here in the second half of the season. And then also, I also know that they have the talent to get it done. And just kind of a wait and see until we get there to see if they can kind of piece it all together.
Yeah, I think we'd all agree that it all has to be firing at the same time. Everything has to fire for whoever it is that will win the World Series, whether it's the Dodgers or it's the Giants or it's the Astros, whoever it is, it will all come together for them. I believe individually, when you look at the pieces and not just the individuals, but the different groups, your starting rotation, your everyday lineup and your bullpen, you can make an argument that collectively they're the best group on paper in all of Major League Baseball. Maybe that's an exaggeration or that's being a bit of a homer, but you can say that they can play with anyone and certainly beat anyone. But it all has to come together at the same time. That starting rotation was the reason why I was so excited about this team's chances in the postseason. And I have liked seeing what Giolito has done in the second half. It's good to see Rodon back and pitching and Lance Lynn coming back from the short stint as well. But you need to get guys producing runs more consistently. You'd feel a whole lot better if Kopech found his good stuff as well. Hendricks was great today. He got an inning's worth of work. Kimbrel has had a few bumps along the way. You know, the hope here is that it will all come together when they get to the postseason because they do have the horses to get there. It's just a matter of whether or not everybody will be firing on all cylinders. And if they are, it's going to be a brilliant ride. If not, they're going to struggle against some of the better teams. So I said when September began, just as a, you know, as a baseball fan and someone that is looking for good things out of this White Sox team, I'd like to see them go on a bit of a run. It really hasn't happened. Does it mean that they can't get into the postseason and do damage and win the series and ultimately get to the top of the mountain? No, it doesn't mean that that can't happen. But as a baseball fan, I certainly would feel a hell of a lot more confident if they went into the season with guys performing at a very high level. And the guy I keep going back to, you know, at least from, you know, from an impact player perspective is Scherzer with the Dodgers. I mean, you look at his numbers since they acquired him.
Incredible.
And they're crazy. I think he's had 8 starts. His ERA is 0.55. He's given up like 5 earned runs. And like he has really hit his stride and is peaking as they head towards the postseason. So we'll see what happens. Again, White Sox lose today, 9-3, the final. They lose the series to the Angels. And as I mentioned a moment ago, they hit the road for an 11-game road trip, last road trip of the season. Again, if you have White Sox thoughts, we'll take them. 312-332-3776. But Chris told me today that there's a lot of good NFL sound with our favorite football team, that Matt Nagy met the media, and there are a lot of different sound bites that you want to play and that the two of us will have a good time talking about. And again, we'll take your Bears phone calls as well. Football tonight, week 2 officially kicks off as you've got the Giants visiting the Washington football team. So there is football. I don't know how excited everyone is about that NFC East battle, but football will be on your television tonight. If you want to talk about your Chicago Bears, we're here for that as well. 312-332-3776. A short show, but we will get to all of your phone calls. Bears conversation next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Speaking of being out and about, guess what? As you were told yesterday and probably the day before, you can catch Pizza Face. I mean, Pizza Man. Mark Silverman, wow. He will be in Palatine tomorrow. I know, I'm Pizza Face. I'm the one with a pizza face. He's Pizza Man. Pizza Face and Pizza Man. But Sylvie will be hosting a pub crawl in Palatine tomorrow, and you just might win a trip to Las Vegas. Yes, we are qualifying somebody for an opportunity to join us in Vegas for the Bears-Raiders game. October 10th, we'll be flying out there Thursday nights, doing our show from Circa Resort and Casino. On Friday, it will be a blast. We will be having a great time. And you could possibly win a trip to join us if, in fact, you were very lucky. But you got to go to the pub crawl. Chris and Adam did this, I believe, last night. I saw several pictures. Yeah. Some people, I think, did Abdallah wrong by superimposing his face on a body that was then being talked to by Cap. Sylvie's pub crawl in Palatine 7 to 9 tomorrow night. He'll start at TJ O'Brien's. He'll hit the Lamplighter in and then end up at JL's Pizza. Perfect for him as he ends the night with a big old pie. Yes, make sure that you're following Sylvie on this pub crawl for an opportunity to win a chance to go to Las Vegas, watch a show, chill, hang out, and then go to the Bears game with us. So it'll be cool. Yes, I saw a lot of good pictures from last night, Chris.
Yeah, Waddle. A lot of people showed out in Lamont. It was a great time. Also, shout out to White Claw. I mean, they're the best. And we were drinking claws up and down all the streets there in Lamont. And the bars were packed. It was a great time. And people were there to try and win this trip to get to Las Vegas to see Chicago and Las Vegas on October the 10th. So go on out and see Sylvie Palatine tomorrow night from 7 to 10. Hang out, drink White Claw, and qualify to try and get to Las Vegas.
Yes, as you said, brought to you by White Claw and Circa Las Vegas. I saw some creepy picture, though, of Adam looking with kind of this longing expression on his face.
You know,
somebody did him wrong.
Well, you know, we were at Canal Street Pub, the last stop, and so people poured in there ready to try and qualify and to get this trip and to enjoy the evening with us and drink some White Claws. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to promote that we're here, and I'm going to take a photo of what's going on here in the bar. So I walked away from our little booth where we were signing people up from, and I walk over, and I just do an overhead shot. And I raise the camera up. I don't even see what's on my phone, Waddle. I just hit the picture button, right?
Yeah.
And then I bring it down. I look at it, and I just captured Abdallah's face just...
Look like a puppy.
Yeah, out of the blue.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's the one we're using. That's fantastic. And then I did a little Zoom job, and I got just his face, and boom, here we go. Let's do this.
He looks
miserable, even though we're having a great time.
And the next thing you know, it's in all different tweets as people are using that picture to run him over with the bus.
So he's not here today, but he had a blast last night as well, so...
All right, before we get to the sound, and you tell me it's juicy, and you tell me there's a lot of good stuff there, we had a good conversation yesterday, I thought, after Bill Lazor met the media, and the thing that's... There was two things that actually that hit me most. The one was is that I thought he was... I thought Bill Lazor answered Stacey Dale's question in a weird and inefficient and unacceptable way when Stacey asked a great question about the offensive line and the game plan changing based on losing different players. And the other thought I had was it's really unfair to Bill Lazor to have him sit out there and answer all of these questions when he's not actually the guy that is calling plays. He's officially the offensive coordinator, but as we were told to start the season, all of the play calls will be made by Matt Nagy. So part of me felt sorry that he was there having to take most of the arrows. But, hey, the job pays well, so that's just part of it. I do have an injury report for everybody. It was a little confusing earlier in the day. There was a word that Eddie Goldman may, in fact, get out there and be limited in practice like he was on Wednesday. That was not the case. Obviously, Eddie Goldman is not headed in the right direction. I think that the phrase or the term that Coach Nagy used today at one point, Chris, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that his arrow was up. Well, his arrow was sideways or down because he did not practice today. Larry Borum also did not practice today. Jimmy Graham was full participation. Jason Peters, good news for the second straight day, was limited in practice but was out there. He is still suffering from a quad. that kind of concerns me. Not so sure how he will hold up over the course of the entire afternoon. Robert Quinn also limited, and then everyone else was full participation. So not a horrible injury report. You look at what the Bengals sent out today. A couple of their secondary pieces did not practice. They've put Ricardo Allen, a safety, on injured reserve with a hand and a hamstring injury. Trey Waynes, one of their corners, starting corners, did not practice today. He's dealing with a hamstring. So when you factor in some of the injuries they've had in their secondary and the style that they play, which is a lot of single high man-to-man, a lot of bump and run, maybe we will finally see this team, and I say finally, it's only been one game, but we will see them actually try to attack the Bengals and attack a defense down the field.
All and right, Waddle, so, one other thing with the injury report, people may wonder, like, how is there confusion with what's going on with Eddie Goldman? So, like, this year, what's different is Matt Nagy has been speaking to the media before practice.
Right.
So he gives kind of like an update, but then they go practice, and then the official injury report is released later in the afternoon. So you kind of have to piece together what Nagy said, which he said before practice, that the arrow was pointing up for Goldman.
Right.
And then practice actually happened, and then the Bears send down an injury report, but Matt Nagy doesn't speak after practice.
Right.
So we don't know whether the arrow was pointing up, or Matt Nagy just didn't tell us the correct information, or if something else happened. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just kind of vague on how this is kind of set up, just based on the structure of when the head coach speaks to the media throughout the week, and then when practice is timed out.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the fact that Eddie Goldman went from limited participation on Wednesday to did not practice on Thursday, that is obviously not a good sign. A master of the obvious here, but that is not a good sign. Eddie Goldman is a fantastic player. I want to see him on the field because he is an impact guy, but today he was not on the practice field. All right, with that said, I know you've got a ton of different clips. Let's get a couple of them now before, if we can, before we have to take a break or wet our whistle, so to speak,
yeah,
with some of the things, Chris, that you had access to and what you heard earlier today that piqued your interest.
Yeah, let's start with this. You know, Matt Nagy was asked, what are the factors for Justin Fields? That the things that he needs to do to fit into Matt Nagy's game plan a little bit more. Here's what the head coach had to say.
Probably the biggest thing is schematically, do we want to use him? If we do, how is that, and when's the best place to do it? The nice thing about Justin is, you got somebody that is special with making throws too. You know, I mean, so many times you see guys that come in and sometimes they're just running quarterbacks and that sort of thing. So he can become a weapon that way too, and allow him to grow each week in practice, but yet still try to find times when we feel like it can be advantageous to us to use him in certain roles. And we thought we did that last week where we were able to, he made a good play for the touchdown run, and we had some other plays in too that we didn't get to, but nothing for us. I think he's going to continue to grow, and we just got to find spots.
Because as you mentioned, he does multiple things well. How much value does he have, I guess, as a chess piece within your game planning?
Yeah, I think he provides a lot of value now that we're here at this point and we're not in training camp and the guessing game or whatever. And inevitably, what it does is, It makes when you have a guy like Justin, teams, when they see that, now they got to prepare in certain ways for certain things they may think of or not think of. So it just can help us that way too.
My first interpretation, Chris, is that this is still going to be limited participation, barring an injury to Andy Dalton. That was my first blush response.
Right,
this.
And it's what's interesting about it is like, They view him as a weapon, but they do not view him as someone who can run the full offense right now.
Right. And that's something that I think, again, you're going to see him sooner rather than later. I do believe it will also be it will be performance-based with regard to how Andy Dalton plays and results. The results of games will also play a role. I think you will see more participation. They will see a bigger package of plays for Justin Fields on Sunday. I would think that if the offense does kind of catch a spark and look significantly better than they did against the Los Angeles Rams, that would only keep Justin in the wings longer. So I'm not cheering for a loss. I'm not cheering for an offensive disaster. But I think if, in fact, they find a way to move the football and get it into the end zone and have a good day offensively, I think that based on kind of what I'm hearing, even with the first soundbite, that think the plan is to keep Andy Dalton under center for the time being.
So
we'll see.
So let's do this. Let's take a break. But coming up next, what if the offensive coordinator, though, suggests that the quarterback is ready? What does Matt Nagy think of that? So we'll play that next, okay?
Yes, let's do that. That's up next. And 312-332-3776 if you'd like to join the conversation. We'll get to more Bears conversation when we return.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Did I wait for the did I hit that correctly?
Yeah,
that
you're
time,
good.
Chris?
Yeah,
getting
was
better
nice.
At it. Yeah. A short show for us tonight, obviously. We're here till 6 o'clock, and then Chris takes over. Lots of Bears conversation. I'm sure you'll get a few irate Sox fans, but the majority of the conversation on a Thursday night where the NFL kicks off week 2 with the Giants at Washington. A lot of conversation about the Bears, so let's take your calls, 312-332-3776. Chris will continue to take your calls tonight as well, I'm sure. But you also have some juicy tape, more juicy tape to play. So I send it back to you.
Well, yeah, it's a conversation we had yesterday, right? Bill Lazor met the media, and he was asked if Justin Fields is ready to play. And this was the answer Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator, gave yesterday.
Justin Fields, based on what he did week one, is ready for a full series. Do you think he can handle a full series?
I would have said after the preseason he's quickly and ready for whatever's thrown at him. So I don't think anything's changed.
If he's ready for it, then why isn't he getting those additional chances?
I think Matt's probably addressed what his philosophy is on the quarterback position. I don't think that's for me to answer that.
Okay, so that's Bill Lazor yesterday, right, Waddle? We had a conversation about this. So today, Matt Nagy was asked about Bill Lazor's comments yesterday suggesting that Justin Fields is ready. Here's the head coach, Matt Nagy.
Well, that's real. I mean, Justin has he's done a really good job at advancing in his knowledge of this offense better than I thought, you know, which is good. He's had last week he had a great week of practice, which is great because he's working on not just his footwork and his mechanics and his fundamentals, but he's also working on the mental side of knowing that he's going out there to try to rip people's hearts out, you know, in practice and do and be great and make our defense better by being a great quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, you go back and you say, well, you hope that's the case, because if that is, then you feel good as to why you went to draft him, right, and why you did that, rather than the other side where it's a struggle and it doesn't feel right. This one right now, the way it's going, he's done a great job, and we feel good about being able to move up to get him for sure.
So there he is, Matt Nagy today. Better than he thought, he's picking up the offense. He's not ready to play, though.
And that's in direct contrast to what Ryan Pace, I think, talked about coming out of training camp as
right.
well. When he said, he's right. You know, he's the same guy we thought he was going to be.
Right. He's the guy that we went up and got because he's special. He's the guy.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because remember, there's a connection between Bill Lazor and Andy Dalton. They were together in Cincinnati.
Right.
It's a good relationship. But yet, you know, Bill Lazor, you know, it sounds to me like, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but if tomorrow they said Justin Fields was going to be the starting quarterback, that he would be more than comfortable with that.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
I read it as well, is that he thinks the kid is ready, yet there's an artificial suppression being applied here just because this worked for Patrick Mahomes.
And it's this, yes, this is the plan of the head coach who ultimately is going to make the decision when it's time to play Justin Fields. And I don't know if it's frustration in the voice of Bill Lazor. I just think I got to be honest, I think he's tired of answering the question, when is Justin Fields going to play? And I, without being rude, I think basically what he said is go ask the head coach. It's his timeline and it's his policy.
Right. You want to talk to the people, Waddle?
Yes.
All right,
let's take some calls.
Let's go to Paul in Gary, Indiana. Paul, you're on ESPN 1000. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. He just played that clip of Nagy where he said that Justin Fields is special. And he said that many times, even in preseason. So, Waddle, you said that, you know, maybe Justin Fields doesn't have 100% of the offense mentally covered here. So, if you're a coach, wouldn't you rather have, say, 50, 60%, 40% even of Justin Fields that is special instead of 100% of Andy Dalton mediocre?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure I said he doesn't have the entire offense. That's one thing I can't speak to. Like, I'm not up there at practice. It's one of the things I think that, you know, JD and Dan Wiederer always gave, you know, gave the insight on because they were there every day, that I know that everyone wants Justin to be there from the opening snap, and he did some really good things, but it's not like that this was a total dumpster fire with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton actually performed well in training camp. So I don't have that insight. I don't have that access. Look, I can just tell you that, and I don't know that he doesn't have full command of all of it. He may, but it's not so much just knowing every play. It's about recognizing defenses and knowing how to set the protection and doing all that other stuff. Do I have concerns that he's going to struggle mightily with that when they turn this thing over to him? No, because as I've said a million times and now a million and one, I equate this situation to the situation that the Texans had with Deshaun Watson. And it's not because I think that they're identical players. I think they come from very common backgrounds and very common situations.
Well, it's common accomplishments in college.
Exactly.
And I think that's the thing that kind of gets lost in the conversation. I know we've talked about it all offseason with the Patrick Mahomes comparisons. It's Mahomes didn't do nearly what Deshaun Watson or Justin Fields did in college football.
Exactly.
And
Chris,
so like if you put any weight into performing on the highest level against the best competition at that level, you would probably lean towards assuming that Justin Fields would be more prepared for this moment.
Right, and not going to be overwhelmed.
Right,
you know,
You know,
there will be things that he will see when they turn things over to him that he hasn't seen yet. And the things that they saw in training camp and in the preseason games will look entirely different than what they see when things, you know, when things get ramped up for real in the regular season. He's going to be chased by guys off the edge that are outside linebackers and defensive ends that run 4-4.
Right.
And like that is an adjustment. He'll find out quickly the same way that Deshaun Watson did. And again, I only make that comparison for the reason you mentioned as well, because you're right. Patrick Mahomes played very well in college, but he didn't play in the biggest games on the biggest stages under the brightest lights the way that Justin Fields did at Ohio State and the way that Deshaun Watson did at Clemson. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't believe that he'll be overwhelmed. Will there be mistakes? Of course there are going to be mistakes. There are mistakes made by guys that have been starting quarterbacks in the league for 3 or 4 years.
I saw a starting quarterback on Sunday Night Football throw an interception in the red zone when you had a chance to take an opportunity on a team that was favored on their home turf, right?
That is exactly correct. So there are going to be mistakes.
Let's go to Jeff on the south side. Jeff, you're on ESPN 1000.
You know what? Thank you for taking my call. The Laser and Nagy. Listening to Nagy, I'm ready to throw my phone through the window. He's such a liar. He's such a liar. You know, and this guy Laser, he's a team player. He's trying to cover for him. That's what he's trying to do, because he knows Nagy's out of his league. You know, when he talks about the mental aspects of the offense. What offense are you talking about? They did not throw the ball down the field at all. So what offense can you be talking about? You mean that Pop Warner League offense that you're running? If Fields is that talented, just like the other caller just said, I'll take the talent and him learning on the go, because that would put Nagy in his right position to be fired. What he's trying to do is hold on. He's trying to hold on to to that head coaching position at all costs.
See, this is where, like, and I think I'm probably the only guy on this island. First of all, the only thing I would push back on, and you make some very good points, is I don't think he's lying to you. And I think he's telling you the truth to the fault. What he's telling you and what he's been telling you now for months and months and months and months is that this is the way that they are going to do this. That it worked for them in Kansas City. And this is the way, he's never lied to you. He's never said that we're going to open this up to a competition and that Justin Fields has an opportunity to win this. No, we believe, and by we, I mean the Bears with Matt Nagy in charge, believes that the best way to bring around a young quarterback, especially in their situation where they are going to be challenged on their offensive line a little bit, is to do it slowly. Again, I'm not arguing their case for them. I'm just telling you, at no point have they come off of that to the point where everyone has maintained being pissed off or got more pissed off because he was so honest in telling you all along that Andy Dalton was going to be the starter. So, that's the one thing. You may disagree with the opinion and the decision, but he's never come off of this is the approach that they're going to use. So, ultimately, will it be his downfall? It could be. At the end of the day, if Justin Fields is given the keys to this vehicle, again, like I said, somewhere around the fourth week of the season, and he shows you that he's in control and he's going to be their answer for the next decade plus, I think everyone will take a bit of a deep breath and kind of zoom out a little bit and realize that we've finally got a guy. In the meantime, it's still going to be an angst-ridden ride. That's just the reality of it.
Let's take more calls next. Does that sound good?
Let's do that. Amen, my friend.
All right, 312-332-3776. We'll talk to you about the Bears next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, before we get back to the calls real quick, Chris, I just wanted to you and I had this conversation a little bit earlier, and I think it's interesting. And I'm trying to find different scenarios, and every scenario is different with regard to when young quarterbacks play. All I do know is collectively first-round draft picks, they play in the NFL these days. Jordan Love is the only one that didn't play a single snap in his first year in a decade plus, and obviously Patrick Mahomes was held out until the final game of the regular season back in 2017. But first-round quarterbacks, they play in their rookie seasons. There's an interesting, in some ways, I've said this in the past, and I think Sean Davis, one of our great producers, was the one that first brought it up to me. And he goes, if this was a decision, and by that the decision I mean is playing this slow with Justin Fields and not starting him right away, if it was made by a coach that had more credibility – or really any credibility, would it be more widely accepted or there would be less angst? If this was Andy Reid making this decision, if this was Bill Belichick, if this was John Harbaugh, how about if this was Brian Flores? And you and I had this conversation earlier. Tua didn't get the start in Miami in his rookie season until about the second or third week of October. And it was a comparable situation there because they had Fitz. And I don't think Fitz is any better than Andy Dalton. I think they're the same guy.
Right.
But Brian Flores, at least, and I don't know how things went in Miami, but in the NFL universe, I think that there was less angst because I think even in the early part of Brian Flores' head coaching career, because he came from the Belichick tree, there was more trust in the decision that he was making. Now, I believe Justin Fields is going to be a significantly better player than Tua. And I could understand playing Justin Fields earlier than they played Tua because I think Justin Fields is, as I said, going to be the better quarterback. But Tua was on the biggest stage under the brightest lights and saw everything you could throw at him as well. So, again, I guess the point I'm making here is that in a lot of ways, this comes down to the credibility of the head coach. And people haven't liked what they've seen from him, whether it was the development or the lack of development of Mitch, whether it has been game plans that don't make any sense, whether it's, in any number of things.
Let me give you this.
I think that's where a lot of the angst is based.
I wouldn't feel as annoyed as I do as a Bears fan if Fields was allowed to compete for the job. If he lost the job to Andy Dalton, I would shut up. I'd be like, okay, I get it. But the fact that publicly he came out and said, no. The star quarterback for the future of the team, we don't compete here at this position. It's handed to Andy Dalton. He may not be ready for the job. He may not be ready to step in week one. But the fact that he wasn't allowed to compete, that's what has really bothered me. So now everything he says in this situation, I look with a skepticism about it. You see what I'm saying?
Like, it lacks credibility, the decision-making. And I think that's a very fair criticism. And in a lot of ways, as we've said, Matt talks himself into trouble a lot of times.
You know, because you pointed out Brian Flores and Tua, but look at Mac Jones and Cam Newton and the way Belichick handled that.
Yeah.
It was a quarterback competition.
Yeah.
And one quarterback won. Let's go to Mark in Morton Grove. Mark, you're on ESPN 1000.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking my call. Tom, you sound a little different. I hope you're okay. Sounds like your voice is a little down.
You know, every now and again, you know, maybe you got okay, a little Tom? Sniffle, got a head cold.
I got
should
you.
Be okay,
I got
but
you.
Thank you for the concern.
Absolutely. Guys, you know, I've listened to so many people discuss this quarterback controversy. And it's not just this station, many other sports stations, but I don't seem to have heard anybody mention the financial part of this. So let me look at this way. So we paid the Bears fans. I'm not a Bears fan, but I just look at it this way. They paid Andy Dalton, was it $10 million for 1 year?
$10 million, yeah.
Okay. So they paid him $10 million for the year. Now, going into the draft, none of us knew, as far as Bears fans go too, that they were going to be in a position where he was going to fall to them at that point. No one knew that. They went in there saying, we'll see how this draft goes, because they pretty much washed away all their picks for Khalil Mack. So they land Justin Fields. Great. Now, as an owner of an organization, you're going to pay a quarterback $10 million for 1 year to sit on the bench?
$10 million,
you guys got to look at it that way, too.
Yeah, but $10 million is a pittance, really, when it comes to paying
quarterbacks. That's the price for a good backup quarterback. Yeah. That's exactly what he is.
Yeah.
But you're talking about Chicago. Okay, I understand that.
They play with the same financials as everybody else. Everyone has to play under the same rules with regard to the salary cap. I don't think this has anything. Look, and Sylvia and I had this argument the other day, and I'll stand by this. And again, we thank you for the phone call. We need to turn this over to Chris here in a second. I will stand by this. I don't believe this is the result of a promise made to Andy Dalton, and they're playing Andy Dalton because they're paying him $10 million. I truly believe that this coaching staff, that Matt Nagy believes what he is doing is what's best for Justin Fields and the organization. You may disagree with it vehemently, but I don't believe that this is a pinky promise situation. This is about a group that feels that this process is what's best for them. So, agree or disagree. Chris, I'm sure you will have some lively conversations with fans.
I was going to say, you know, if there's no promise, Tom, we might be in bigger trouble than we really think we're in. If the coach can't see how special this kid is!
Well, you will elaborate that on that as well.
Will I see you tomorrow?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, I will be in. Sylvie will be in as well.
Adal will be here. We'll all be back tomorrow.
The band will be back together, and we will be celebrating a second Football Friday of the season. So, Chris, thanks for your help today. Thanks for Sean Davis as well. His help also. White Sox lose to the Angels 9-3, but more football conversation with Chris Black coming up next. This is ESPN 1000. Have a great night. Agree or disagree. Chris, I'm sure you will have some lively conversations with fans.
I was going to say, you know, if there's no promise, Tom, we might be in bigger trouble than we really think we're in. If coach can't see how special this kid is!
Well, you will elaborate that on that as well.
Will I see you tomorrow?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, I will be in. Sylvie will be in as well.
So, we'll be here. We'll all be back tomorrow.
The band will be back together, and we will be celebrating a second Football Friday of the season. So, Chris, thanks for your help today. Thanks for Sean Davis as well. His help. All the White Sox lose to the Angels 9-3, but more football conversation with Chris Black coming up next. This is ESPN 1000. Have a great night.
I I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.